You know, I find very often that the scripture puts a challenge before us, but it doesn't tell us immediately how we can get there. Okay. Set your mind on the things above and not on the things of the earth. Colossians 3:2, which we just read. How are you going to do it? The Bible says you've got to have your mind set on the things above all the time and not on the things of earth. I say, fine, Lord, but how am I going to do it? Some people are never seeking how to do it. They say, okay, they try. It's like, to me, it is just like trying to get your sins forgiven by your own effort. It doesn't work. I thought of that when I read the Sermon on the Mount, you know. When you read the Sermon on the Mount, if you're sincerely reading it, believing that these are the words of Jesus. Now let me read it to you and try and understand it, what I'm trying to point out here. First we begin with Matthew 5:20. Unless your righteousness is greater than, surpasses the righteousness of the Pharisees, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So we've got to stop there a moment and say, do you really believe that? The Pharisees had a pretty high standard of external righteousness. They fasted twice a week, they prayed three times a day, and they gave 10% of all their income. And what does it mean for your righteousness to exceed that? And we are not left in any doubt. The Lord says, I'll explain to you exactly what I said. The rest of the Sermon on the Mount is an explanation of that verse. He's saying the Pharisees have an old covenant righteousness. You need to have something greater than that, which is a new covenant righteousness. That is what surpasses the righteousness of the Pharisees. And he says, I'll explain it. For example, old covenant righteousness in verse 21 is don't commit murder. New covenant righteousness is inward murder. Don't get angry. Verse 22. Old covenant righteousness, verse 27, is don't commit external adultery. New covenant righteousness in verse 28 is don't commit internal adultery. You see how Jesus is explaining how your righteousness must be superior to the Pharisees. Theirs is external, yours must be internal. Again, old covenant righteousness, verse 33, is when you take an oath, you must speak the truth. It's external. You put your hand on a Bible, I'm not going to speak the truth. But Jesus says, no. When you say yes, verse 37, it must be yes. You don't need to put your hand on a Bible or take a vow or any such thing. Inwardly, you are a truthful person. In the same way, in the old covenant, the law was if a neighbor strikes you, takes out one eye, take out his eye. The meaning is don't take out both eyes, take out only one. But they misunderstood it, that if he takes out one eye, I've got to take out his eye. But Jesus says, no, in the new covenant, you forgive the person. And it goes on in chapter 6. In the old covenant, the emphasis was on prayer. And the new covenant, the emphasis is, how do you do it? Not how much you pray, but how you pray. There's a lot of difference. But even today, I find a lot of Christians emphasize how much you pray. Do you pray for 2 hours or 3 hours? Never Jesus emphasized that. He emphasized, how do you pray? Do you pray in secret with only God seeing? Or do you pray in a way that you want other people to know? That's the emphasis. It's always the inner life, not the external. And yet I find a lot of Christians boasting about how many hours they pray. Or fasting. Not how many days you fasted, but is it hidden so that people don't know? Or giving money. It's all there in Matthew 6. Not how much you give, but is it secret? Is it before God? So, and there's such a high standard. For example, it says you can't serve God and money, verse 24. Don't be anxious. So many things here which are such a high standard. And at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, you say, all right, Lord, now you have explained how our righteousness must be greater than the righteousness of the Pharisees. It must be heavenly and not earthly. Now at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, my question is, how in the world do I have this? Many people don't ask that question. They read through it, they say, oh, well, this is impossible to keep it. Let's move on, read the next chapter. But a sincere Christian, he reads this and says, Jesus meant what he said. Now, how in the world can I get it, Lord? And the answer is here. Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Knock, and it will be opened. Seek, and you will find. So you have to earnestly seek and ask and knock for this. And it comes through the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that is how even what we see in Colossians is like a challenge, like the Sermon on the Mount. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. The sincere Christian who is absolutely honest, and if you are honest, you'll say the same thing. That's what I said. I said, Lord, I find it very difficult. My mind is always coming back to the earthly things. I'm not talking about our secular work. I'm talking about our values. We have to do our secular work. Jesus also, when he was a carpenter, he was concentrating on what he was doing as a carpenter. So I'm not talking about not concentrating on our work. I'm saying where we set our values. I say, Lord, I always want to have my values set on heaven. How is it possible? How can I reckon myself to be dead to this world? And how can I come to the place where the world has no more interest in me like a dead man doesn't have interest? And when I seek God like that, he will tell me, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I see everything in the New Testament is like a challenge. And God is waiting to see how many people will now see this and say, I want it. I believe this is what you want, but I'm not able to attain it. Lord, do something for me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. So I believe the entire New Testament is written in such a way, and God is testing to see how many people will take this seriously. And that's one. And secondly, recognize they cannot attain it and not just give up like some people. Many Christians read it and say, that's impossible. Let's forget it. I'm accepted in Christ. I'm going to heaven. That's it. But there are others who say, God couldn't have wasted so many pages writing all this just to teach us that it's impossible. They say, no, it's possible, but there must be something here which I'm missing. Yes. When you ask God, he'll show you. It's by being filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings the atmosphere of heaven into our hearts. It is not something you struggle and get. It's not by fishing all night. No, it's by casting the net on the right side, and the Lord fills our heart with the Holy Spirit. It's a wonderful life, I can tell you, and I don't believe God wants any of us to miss it. I pray that as we read the scriptures, it will produce in us a hunger and a thirst for this life. If you can read passages like this and just move on to the next verse, then God sees you're not really passionate about this life. For example, one verse, Colossians 3:2, just one verse. Set your mind, set means fix it there, on the things above and not on the things of earth. Lord, how in the world can I do it? How can I have this heavenly minded value system all the time while I'm doing my earthly work? How can I be free from the love of money, free from the love of honor, free from the love of earthly praise, completely undisturbed by the criticisms of men or what they speak behind my back? And people in heaven are not bothered about what people are going to speak about them on earth. Imagine being like that. Is it possible? The devil says no. The Bible says yes. There are very, very few people I have met in my life, I'll tell you, who are genuinely filled with the Holy Spirit and live by these values. But there are some. And I believe that all of us can come there. The Bible says, if you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, and there is no partiality with him. If you can believe that there's no partiality with God, what he's done for one person, he'll do for you. Like we sing in that song, what he did for Jesus, he will do for you. The Holy Spirit enabled Jesus to walk on earth as a heavenly minded person. Keep that in mind when you sing that. What he did for Jesus, he will do for me. Do I believe that? Yes? If I'm eager to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And even after being a Christian for 60 years, I find I find a great longing in my heart today. More and more I say, Lord, I want this life at any cost. I want to live this life because I know this is the only thing that will save me from regret at the judgment seat of Christ. That's what I'm aiming for. I'm aiming for zero regret at the judgment seat of Christ. I mean, there are a lot of things in my past life I regret. I can't do anything about it, that. But at least from the time I've got light, Lord, I don't want any regret at the judgment seat of Christ. I've heard so much, and particularly you folks who have come to this church and heard so much. At least from now on, but say, Lord, for the rest of my life, I want to live in such a way that I don't have any regret about how I lived, at least from today. That when it's all evaluated in the final day, at the judgment seat of Christ, I say, from a certain day onwards, I have no regret about the way I lived. I lived in triumph in Christ because He really made me a heavenly minded person. It's possible. I hope all of you will believe it. That's the first step. And once you believe, you thirst for it and long for it. There's no partiality. What He did for Jesus, He will do for you. As He cared for Jesus, He will care for you. I remember how my life was changed when I believed that truth. May God help us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help us never to forget what Your Holy Spirit is trying to say to us. There's so much of confusion the devil has brought into this world among Christians, making them doubt page after page of Scripture, verse after verse, saying this is impossible, impossible, impossible. We want to resist the devil and say everything You have promised is possible. Everything You have commanded is possible. And we want to be a living testimony to the fact that what You have commanded is possible in our life. Help us, Lord, to be men and women like that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.